I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chasing and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubble gum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the All Out of Bubblegum podcast. We are back, and with me today I have Marty.
Hello.
And Brandon.
Hi.
And we are embarking on a fish-tastic episode. Well, that's not true. There's none of these are fish. But we're looking at two Joss ripoffs, two of the first ones that really spun the wheel. The second Joss made money, and that is Ovidio G. Asonitis.
Asonitis.
Yeah, as his tentacles or tentacoli, as it is in Italian production. Released as early as May in 77, less than 2 years after Joss. I believe he was a notorious ripoff merchant. So this is right up his alley. And also Michael Anderson's Orca, which also released in the summer of 77. So in 2 years, Michael Anderson, slightly more respectable director from... among other best picture winner around the world in 80 Days.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like a real a boring British. That made some respectable stuff. Like Dam Busters and Around the World in 80 Days. Logan's Run. The first adaptation of 1984. Mm. That's all him. Nobody remembers him now.
No.
Maybe the most forgotten best picture winner director. Don't know. He's got to be up there.
Whoever is more forgotten, we've forgotten about, so we can't mention him.
Well, the other one is like with the one that the lady that directed Coda that nobody remembered the name of before the movie even won. I already forgot her name. It was like a joke on Barry, like right after she won. Even she was on the episode of Barry playing herself, directing some like shitty sci-fi TV show. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there's any Joss ripoffs that were faster. I forgot to like just pull up a complete overview of Joss ripoffs, but these seem pretty fast.
Yeah. It seems impossible to be faster almost. Piranha, probably the most famous one, came out in 78.
Well, it was when did Joss 2 come out? It's pretty fast too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just it also came out in 78. All right, yeah, it's like this one called Joss of Death came out in 76. It's pretty fast.
Good title too.
But yeah,
Joss of Death.
Yeah, I mean they remember to put Joss in the title. by 77, that was already out.
All used up.
Then we were on the tentacles. Ooh. I guess this was shot in 76, or the Italians edit really fast. I don't really know. But by this time, the like Italian movies, like spaghetti westerns and whatever, slashers and stuff, had become such a huge hit in the U.S. that U.S. companies were studios were like paying the Italians to come over and shoot on location in America instead of just sending the actors over to Italy. And that's one of these. So this is shot on location in Miami, I believe.
Yeah, right, Florida. So that checks out.
Yeah, Florida. It's it was shot in Atlanta and California.
San Diego.
All over the place.
Is San Diego Florida?
No, that's California.
Oh, Okay.
Maybe not at all shot in Florida. I don't know why I thought it was shot in Florida. All right.
Yeah.
We do a lot of research on this. We do a lot of research on this podcast, as you can tell. Apparently, yeah, they originally had wanted a sequence where the octopus destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge, and since the sequence was cut due to time and budgetary constraints, and I gotta say, it seems a lot of the octopus stuff was cut for budgetary and time constraints. Then, because there's not a lot of octopus in
there. Yeah, I heard it was anything.
Yeah, I heard it was very expensive to make the octopus, but then when they put it in the water, it immediately sank to the bottom of the ocean, so they just kind of like had one guy wiggle the tentacle around for like the rest of the movie.
It's worse than Jaws. They also had the same problem, yeah. I mean, with the shark, but they worked around
They ripped it. Off the wrong thing.
Well, basically, yeah, so we're in this city by the beach, and
definitely...
It starts off really
definitely
promising.
Filmed in California.
With a guy with the octopus just snatching a baby out of a stroller, and it seems it's gonna be like really dark. But then it never really follows up on that.
No, it just almost immediately turns into some kind of montage of different characters dying, without us ever seeing the octopus. And then that stops almost immediately as well. And we're introduced to like five different supposed lead characters.
There's a lot of lead characters in this, probably because they only paid each of them for 5 days.
Yes. None of them will have any impact on the plot.
No.
No. I guess the mainest main character for... at least the first hour of the movie before he completely vanishes is John Huston.
Yes.
For some reason.
Well, they're originally going to get Henry Fonda for the role, I believe, but then Henry Fonda had surgery, so they're like, oh, we'll just replace him with the next best person, John Huston.
No, you know who the first choice was? It was John Wayne.
Really?
He was going to get John Wayne for it, and John Wayne said yes. But then they went to meet him at his home, and they were like, oh, you are fucking dying, my dude. We cannot put you in front of the camera. Because this would have been... like, when was the shootest? Is it 76?
I think it was 76.
So this was a year after... this was a year after they shot the shootest. And then they went there, and it was like, no, you are... You look worse than Henry Fonda. We cannot let you be in this movie. And then they went to Henry Fonda, and Henry Fonda, he had a pacemaker or something put in right before. So they basically, I think he was just like uninsurable for any American movie, and it was like, oh yes, I will pay me $1 million for 1 day.
And Henry Fonda's awful in this. He just walks around in his 70s pants and reads lines off a cue card. Flubbing his line on one occasion, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, he worked on this for 1 day. He was going to play the lead, yeah, then he had a heart attack. Now instead he plays a guy who's he's the CEO of some kind of company that they believe is at fault for the octopus becoming evil.
Yeah, a tunnel making company called Trojan. Now, I would never go into a tunnel created by Trojan, because I would never come out the other end. I'd get caught.
So, that's how the casting ended up. It's a lot of weird casting. They seem to just get whoever actor they could get. Because we also have Shelley Winters playing John Huston's sister. But she has a child,
and they still live together.
Who is
they
like,
live together, brother and sister? It seems like.
Yeah.
I thought they were lovers at first.
I thought so. They were going to be a couple too, and then it's like, but she has like an 8-year-old son, and she was like 57 when they made it. And her brother's John Huston. John Huston must have been 70 when this was made.
Young and spry.
Which I guess, I don't know, they don't seem to have thought that really true. I don't know. Like that, yeah. It just seems like, oh yeah, we can get this actor, get them because they're a name. Yeah.
We can either have the sequence of the octopus attacking the Golden Gate Bridge, or we can have Henry Fonda for a day.
I'm just disappointed we didn't get to see John Huston fight the octopus at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. John Huston just stops being in the movie after like 50 minutes. Because he's a news reporter who starts he's writing about the first couple of deaths, and he starts investigating into it, and he suspects that the underwater tunnel is what is causing the octopus to become bad. And it turns out it's like the octopus doesn't like radio signals.
Well.
And that's what makes him angry?
They bring this up as an explanation towards the start, and then it doesn't ever really come back, I think. I mean, the kids have a radio with them on the sailboat, but that's it.
Yeah, and that seems to be the only thing why it's supposed to... it seems to be set up that there's going to be an octopus attack during the boat race, but again, we don't really get an octopus attack. One of the kids disappears, but show me some octopus.
Show me that octopus. Yeah.
We're trying to make too much sense of this movie. I thought it was going to be a Japanese porno when it was recommended, but I mean, this still has a lot of people being sucked dry in it, though.
Because like, the director, he was also hot off his like Exorcist ripoff. He pushed out an Exorcist ripoff in 1974, like 1 year after that. He's mainly a producer, but he turned out a lot of stuff. Oh yeah, no God, he's the guy. He's the guy who took over Canon Pictures in 1990 when they bought out Menachem Golan.
Oh.
The really like the really shitty years, the ones you don't remember. Like, oh, he worked on American Ninja 5 and Midnight Ride with Michael Dudikoff. The ones you really remember, good ones. That's who he is. Yeah. This movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
The words, yeah. God, this is so awful, went through my head so many times watching this film. It just was nonstop. I'd give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, the main thing that went through my mind was, Brandon will love this. Schlock.
It has a certain appeal to it. I mean, it's so awful that you can't help but enjoy parts of it. It's not a great movie, though, but it has a few good scenes.
It has a great score, I think.
Yeah.
Stelvio Cipriani, who is, he's an Italian composer. Did a ton of spaghetti westerns, of course. Polizietzko soundtracks. Probably some giallos. Really sure. I think Tarantino used the score for this in Death Proof, I think.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember if he has like any like really iconic themes that you would remember. I'm kind of pulling up a blank. I mean, what he did, he did like this the Stranger sequels, but not the original one, and that's the one with the iconic theme, I think. They Call Me Hallelujah. I remember the score for that one, but none of them are like, I don't think he did any like super famous scores. I guess he's like, I don't know, like the fourth most famous Italian composer of that area, maybe. Behind, I mean, Morricone obviously number one.
Who we'll get to later.
Bruno Nicolai and God, what's the name of the last guy? This is good podcasting. guy who did Day of Anger. Ah, god damn it. Riz Orletano. That's the guy. Maybe Cipriani is number four.
Not bad.
I don't know. This soundtrack's banging, though.
Yeah.
It almost made me think the movie was good.
Yeah, supposedly this soundtrack is actually just stolen or borrowed from his own soundtrack for What Have They Done to Your Daughters and what was it?
Oh yeah,
The Great Kidnapping.
I've seen that. I don't think I've seen The Great Kidnapping, but I have seen What Have They Done to Your Daughters. That is a fun Poliziano thriller with that one guy that I like, but I can never remember his name.
Yeah, and the soundtrack, though it is great in this one, died. It doesn't seem appropriate for this movie. So that actually makes...
No, not necessarily. It just keeps like banging in with some guitars every now and then. We're probably going to play it right here. Yeah, because it turns out they're using ultrasonic drilling, which is and the sound waves are above regulation levels for drilling.
Yeah.
And that makes the octopus real mad.
So he starts killing people. Which is gruesome to think about, obviously. I mean, they talk about, like, the one, like, adult victim who gets, like, sucked into a husk, and then they're like, oh, yeah, that baby got sucked into a husk, and all its bone marrow got drained of it, too. You know, just kind of like, lay off the baby killing for just a little bit, okay?
Not enough baby killing, that's what I say.
Well, yeah.
But we guess you've got the last cast member we kind of forgot to bring up is Bo Hopkins, who, as a orca trainer.
Surprise, he doesn't play a sheriff.
Marine.
There's a sheriff, but it's not Bo Hopkins.
Right, because we were over that. He always plays sheriffs, except in this one. We found the one movie where he's not a sheriff. He plays an orca trainer who has... what do you call it in English? Like, he's got, like, diver's disease?
The bends.
The bends? You would just call it that?
Oh. Right.
All right. Don't know.
I don't know either.
We call it diver's disease in Norway. I just...
Yeah, it depends.
Call it decompression sickness, basically. Oh. Yeah. Because one time he did a bad dive, and now it's like, if you dive for more than 3 minutes, you're gonna die. Those are the stakes.
Yeah. That never come back into play.
But he does get. He does give the orcas a good pep talk though before they go on their killing spree against the octopus. Though he's like, yeah, I know you're really intelligent animals here. You're so smart, you can communicate all across, like, millions of miles. I love you guys. You have to kill this octopus, all right? And then they do what they're told.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then his wife is killed by the octopus.
Yes.
And then he just, after the boat race, he just goes out on his boat and tells the killer whales to kill the octopus. In a really, really anticlimactic climax. apparently they bought a whole dead octopus at a fish market.
Oh, and really? And
yeah, left it at the bottom of the sea and just filmed that the killer whales ate it. That's why it's so like really dramatic and structured and feels like whoa, because they're just eating a corpse. So that's why that octopus is not putting up any fight. And so, yeah, I guess, like, he plays both Robert Shaw and Roy Scheider part in this one, I guess, sort of.
Yeah.
This is Jaws without the drama.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Or the horror.
Or depth. Yeah. Or anything, really.
Well, it's got a motivation. That's what it does for the octopus. Shark never had a motivation.
Yeah,
I guess like you got Henry Fonda's basically the mayor guy, I guess.
Kind of.
God, he looks so frail. In this.
You can tell he doesn't want to be there.
Can you believe he died only 5 years
ago? That long?
I was gonna say that seems really long. I'm surprised he wasn't dead when this shot.
He dies during the premiere. Like, this is the shit I had to film.
Yeah, he and that octopus at the end. They were both. They were just corpses that they.
They just dump his corpse out in the river and like have like the orcas eat it for the finale.
The score and John Huston really is doing all the heavy lifting here. John Huston shows up. He gives a fuck.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Hand it to John.
So does Shelley Winterton.
Yeah, I mean she's great, great big ham, isn't she? by this point of her career, she loved hamming it up. She's in like one of the Cleopatra Jones movies, isn't she? Played the bad guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
she's a massive hat in that too.
Mm-hmm. She has this obnoxious sombrero in this film.
Reminded me of Norm Macdonald as Sturt Ferguson.
Yeah. Big hat. Funny. Funny because it's big. And, oh, I mean, she didn't do much after this, but and she did live for, she didn't die until 2006.
No.
She just sort of calmed down, I guess. Oh, no, it looks like she was quite active in the 90s. I guess I was looking at some television credits, which was a lot less.
Okay.
Obviously, we all remember her as Robert Ginty's mom on Hawaiian Heat.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, she played the other guy's mom, not Robert Ginty.
Oh.
Jeff McCracken. We all remember Jeff McCracken. No,
that would have been a great name for the lead in this movie.
Yeah.
We all love and remember Jeff McCracken from Hawaiian Heat.
Yeah, but the...
But John Huston was such a good sport in this that they actually like cast him again in the film The Visitor, the director did, because he was such like he put some effort into this, unlike Henry Fonda. So
well, and
good job, John Huston.
Henry Fonda's doctor told him not to put any effort into anything.
That's true.
Yeah, that's it's another movie that he produced, The Visitor.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what that one's. If it's ripping off something, it's a truly insane movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Franco Nero plays Jesus in it.
Oh.
That yeah, both again. Shawn Winters and John Huston return for that.
Hmm.
Oh. That's an insane cast. It's got Glenn Ford, Lance Henriksen, Sam Peckinpah, Franco Nero. Just how do you even begin to bring together that cast?
Yeah, the scene where Bo Hopkins' wife dies is probably the best scene of the movie.
All right. Elaborate.
It's the nighttime boat attack by the octopus. They're on the boat. They're having fun. And just sort of like as a jump scare almost, the octopus just comes swimming towards the boat in lightning speed. And then we see an actual octopus grab a tiny miniature boat in the bathtub, and it's great.
Oh my god, I'm looking at a picture of that sombrero, and it is worse than I remembered.
Cultural appropriation.
No, it is so big. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, I feel like every time you look at it, it gets bigger.
For me, the best scene was probably the baby killing, but it was so shocking that they were going to go there. And they didn't get too gruesome with it, but I did enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
I still want to know the punchline of that first joke from the boat race scene.
Oh, yeah, me too.
The guy keeps talking about, he's telling some about a drunken Scottish guy who gets into money, and then they never tell the punchline.
No, wasn't he got like manure by him on all over himself or something like that?
Yeah, he gets manure covered in manure, and then there's supposed to be like a line between him and his wife. Oh. That's the punchline, and they don't say the punchline, and then they just keep doing a bunch of other terrible jokes. They have the punchline for all of those, but I want to know the punchline to the drunken Scottish one.
They didn't think it through.
If you know that punchline, leave a comment.
There was a man from Scotland. It's like a limerick, but we don't know the answer to. But yeah, that comedian was awful. I don't know why they hired him. I don't know if he was writing his own jokes, like the actor, or if they had it in the script. But either way, it was awful.
Knowing the Italians, it was probably just... They probably just filmed a real guy doing this on like 4th of July or something. He didn't even know about it. Just to save money.
Then we get the boat attack during the boat race, and that's an okay scene. You get to see the octopus head floating around, which is probably a little prop, probably, that they, like, scoot around on, like, a little, like, remote control boat. But it works fine enough for what it's trying to be.
Oh, no, that was a very disappointing sequence to me.
No, oh, I thought it was fine.
All the freeze frames, and you can't tell what's going on. The octopus is
obviously something different.
It's no. That's where the movie just needed to show some fucking limbs flying.
Oh, the limbs flying from the octopus, ripping people limb from limb. I dig that. Yeah. Yeah, I could get behind that.
Though I do think the ending shot to that sequence is amazing, where we see the overturned boats from the helicopter, like some sort boat graveyard in the water. That shot's great.
Yeah. Reminds me of the only, like, part in the entire movie that could be considered somewhat chilling, when they're underwater and they see, like, all the dead fish just, like, facing the ground. I mean, I guess that's moderately chilling for, like, this type of movie, like a shitty-ass Italian ripoff. So, I mean, I'll give the movie points for that.
Yeah.
And it also just keeps cutting the score in and out all the time. Like, they just, like... Oh, fuck, what are we doing? I'll just blast a score, and it looks like something's
happening. It'll be scary, I promise.
Cut to Shelley Winters yelling into a walkie-talkie. That'll be exciting.
Nobody had any impact on the plot other than Bo Hopkins. It's kind of a shame.
Yeah. John Huston and Shelley Winters just disappear from the movie like an hour in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone does. They do the Jaws ending, basically, but it's only Bo Hopkins and one other guy. Some bland guy in a boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about orcas. Well, we weren't, but... we got
from
orca.
Two friendly orcas to one killer orca.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. Orca is the... Death Wish 4 of Jaws ripoffs, and the Charles Bronson is played by an orca.
Oh, you stole my line. I was gonna say that. No.
Well, I guess because you're looking at the one thing here. This one also has Italian. The script writers for this one is Italian. Okay. It's punched up by Robert Towne, who did Chinatown.
Yeah.
But it's from the writer of Miami Super Cops with Terrence Hill, for instance.
That's a good one.
Oh!
And, several others. It's Luciano Vincenzoni, who also wrote, like, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, to be fair, not just... and Sergio Donati, who co-wrote Once Upon a Time in the West and
some other
Sergio Leone movie. Yeah. Wrote on that, and I think they also co-wrote Raw Deal with Arnold Schwarzenegger together.
Oh, wow. A lot of talent behind Orca, the killer whale.
But I don't know why there's just two Italian screenwriters on this.
Isn't the producer Italian?
Dino De Laurentiis. Yes, that's the producer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's Italian. He's another schlock merchant. Who, yeah. There's some great... well, I mean, Ennio Morricone is also writing the score here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's a Dutch-Italian-Canadian... co-production.
Oh.
Well, makes sense. It's set in Canada, so.
Shot in Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and Malta. The three hotspots of filming.
Yeah, I think they actually went to Malta for the ice sequences.
Yeah, sure. You needed that Mediterranean winter.
No, but there's also some talent in front of the camera. You got Richard Harris and Charlotte Rampling.
Oh, yes. Derek.
A pretty stacked cast. We got Peter Hooten, carried way low considering he is basically the third lead of the movie. From Inglourious the original Inglourious Bastards and the original Doctor Strange. And Night Killer, where you can see his entire dick line out. So if you're into that.
Oh, okay. I'll have to watch.
He spends a lot of. He spent. It's a slasher. It's another Italian movie shot in America, but it's like he wears a tiny Speedo for so much of that movie. It's a lot of fun. It's got one of the most insane twists you'll ever see. But yeah, you can just totally see his dick all the time. I think he's into poetry or something. He's still alive. Turned up in a movie not too long ago. I think he's gay. Not that that matters, but he's just a weird. He's just like a guy who's like, I think he just did a ton of like shit movies for money, and he has like a lot of like other interest. Also, he looks exactly like John Holmes. it's uncanny how much he looks like the porn star John Holmes.
One and the same.
Yeah, we got Robert Carradine up in here, the everyone's fourth favorite Carradine. And Keenan Wynn turns up a little bit.
Yeah. And he plays Novak, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got Will Sampson from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Outlaw Josie Wales and Dying of Cancer fame. We remember him from Firewalker, where he looked worse than Henry Fonda in Tentacles. And of course, Bo Derek in here being so not terrible that I didn't realize it was Bo Derek until the end credits. Because she is truly one of the worst actresses of all time. Truly a god-awful filmography. And I just didn't realize it was her. Please, if you don't know Bo Derek, you can look into her and the very creepy relationship with her husband, who was like 40 years older than her and seduced her when she was like 15. And yeah, John Derek, you pedophile, burn in hell. Bolero, one of the most evil movies ever made, I think. If you wanna rent that movie to be a get on a watch list, because that is there is underage nudity in that movie. Yeah. All right. Fun stuff. But yeah, basically, this movie wastes no time. We pretty much right away we got. Richard Harris, that's his name. Mm-hmm. He's on his orca boat, his boat hunting orcas.
Isn't he hunting or sharks they at the start?
They're hunting sharks, and then they meet Charlotte Rampling. Oh yeah, because it takes a bit. We meet Charlotte Rampling, she's like a marine biologist, and then this movie kind of. That's the part where this movie feels like it's funded by Big Orca, whereas like she holds like a lecture and it's like, here we see the dog brain and the useless human brain, and here's the superior orca brain.
Yeah, their fetuses just look like human fetuses.
And it's like, yeah, orcas are so smart. And then it's something about like, oh yeah, they communicate, and something where they recorded some audio, and it has like 4,000 something.
15 million
messages.
Whereas the Bible only has 4 million.
Yeah, something like that.
Which,
like the orcas, every time the orca sings, it basically it communicates three Bibles.
Wow. Which doesn't really sound that smart.
No,
three times many contradictions.
Bible dumb as shit, yo.
I don't really understand the metric of that. Like, oh yeah, we measure every communication and how many Bibles were put in.
It's just as incoherent.
Well, it's slightly more coherent.
Okay. Those orcas, they're really smart. They're like, but the Bible says that Noah has seen the face of God, yet Moses has.
Yeah. And then, for some reason, one of the orcas tried to kill. Never understand. Why does the female orca tries to kill herself by ramming herself into the propeller of Richard Harris's boat?
Because she's smart.
Wasn't she wounded at the time?
She didn't want to get caught.
Richard Harris hit her with like a dart or something like that. So she's like, I gotta kill myself now. She goes for the propeller. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, she has the harpoon in her.
But it seems excessive.
Well, you don't just go to the orca doctor and have that removed.
They pull her off to out of the sea, and she dead. And then she basically gives birth to a dead baby right on the boat. Richard just freaks out and washes the baby on to the ocean.
That's the part that I didn't. Does she actually give birth to it, or does it come out of a cut that she made by swimming into the propeller?
Yeah, maybe she's trying to do a C-section. Yeah. Because she's really smart, so she knows about C-sections.
My main question but is, it doesn't do we see work orca pussy? That's what I want to know.
Lots of
if you're a marine biologist, then please contact Marty, because he got a lot of weird questions to ask you. Yeah, it doesn't work though. The baby dies, and that makes the mate real angry. So he's gonna get he swims up and he looks Richard Harris right in the eye, and he's like, "I'm gonna get you, motherfucker." And that's the rest of the movie. Basically, it's just this orca getting revenge slowly. He pushes the lady orca he brings her to the shore, and then he just goes nuts. He blows up a nuclear power plant for fun.
Yeah. It's setting up the sequel where the radiation causes certain things to happen. Yeah, it's like that Simpsons segment from the Treehouse of Horror where all the dolphins come up on shore and start murdering everybody. That's the sequel. Orca 2.
Mm. Orca 2, the spawn.
All right.
The spawn, yes.
Yeah. So he basically just torturing this town because... really, Richard Harris should just, like, kill himself, and then everything would be fine. But he just keeps not doing that. And, then the whale just keeps destroying the city, really. Newfoundland village, blowing up their power plant. Then he destroys Richard Harris's house.
Sinks boats.
And rips Bo Derek's... Yeah, sinks some boats, rips Bo Derek's leg off.
This film was pretty gruesome for a PG-rated film. I know it's before PG-13, but, I mean, like, orca miscarriages and Bo Derek getting her leg ripped off and all the blood, and I thought it was kind of gruesome for, like, a film for PG, even though it is, obviously, before PG-13.
It does not shy on the violence.
Of course, neither does Tentacles. That had, like, a guy with his eye hanging out, but that was also PG, but...
For an Italian-produced movie, that's very tame.
Yeah, I get that, but I just love the MPAA during this time period when it would just like slap like random ratings on random films, like, oh, you're G, you're PG, you're R, and it would have like no rhyme or reason whatsoever.
And then Steven Spielberg came and ruined that for us. Bastard.
Anyway, back to Orca. Yeah. My rant
the orca
is over.
Really wants revenge on Richard Harris, so he's trying to challenge him.
he's basically just ruins the town until Richard Harris kind of agrees to go out on a boat and hunt the orca, and they follow the orca into the Arctic, and along the way he kills Robert Carradine, and is the other one Keenan Wynn on the boat that he kills?
Keenan Wynn was Novak, the guy who dies earlier. It's like when like Richard Harrison screams in slow motion, Novak. I'm pretty sure that was Keenan Wynn.
Well, that would make sense that it was him.
Oh, was it Will Sampson?
He kills Robert Carradine and Peter Hooten.
Oh, okay.
No, the orca has no interest in killing Will Sampson because he was not on the boat when his wife was killed. He only joins them later.
Yeah, but he does die, though, eventually. But yeah.
No, Will Sampson survives.
Oh, I thought he got crushed by that ice. They crashed into the iceberg.
Oh, he did? I thought he survived. He was going to sail Charlotte Rampling home at the end.
No, you hear the helicopters coming.
I guess he died. All right. Oh, then he survives, I guess. Well, fuck him, too. Even though he had nothing to do with it. He just drove the boat. That orca said, fuck it.
Well, it doesn't matter how many indiscriminate civilians must die. You'll have his revenge.
Yeah, he just keeps on killing him. Rips Robert Carradine's arm off and kills Peter Hooten, too. And then he goes to, he's got a showdown with Richard Harris, I guess. And then he just fucking, spoilers, but he just like hurls Richard Harris like 50 meters into the ice and just kills him. Because I was thinking home, we were like, oh, it's going to be like Richard Harris is going to win. He's going to kill the orc at the end. And it's going to, the movie's going to be like, yes, this is the right thing. The human is the hero. But it doesn't. It really follows through and is like, yes, this whale deserves its revenge and we deserve to die. Yeah. And I kind of love it for that, that it just really sticks with it. It does do that. It is Death Wish, but it's a whale and it lets the whale win.
Of course, then again, the whale commits suicide at the end. He just kind of drives. He swims underneath the iceberg and just kind of like lets himself die of suffocation, apparently. That's what I've got out of it, at least.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it meant that, because he swims into like an ice corridor, it seems, but the music seems like uplifting, so I wasn't really sure.
Morricone, get the facts straight. He's killing himself.
Oh, Morricone's never seen a movie that he scored. He's had 300 scores a year. He's never had time to watch any movie. Yeah, I mean, Free Willy, no, lock him up. That man is a menace. when he kills Richard Harris, he's like, oh yeah, I'm happy now. It's basically like, oh, if you could have just killed him at the start, everything could have been avoided. Charlotte Rampling thinks she's gonna kill her too, and it's like, oh no, I'm done now, goodbye.
The end.
And it's the ending of Return of the Magnificent Seven, where they keep fighting the whole, there's a giant gang, and then once they shoot the boss, the rest of the gang's just like, whatever. we don't care. We can leave now. You killed that guy, whatever. We don't get paid now, goodbye. That really is how the movie ends. They just shoot the main bad guy, and they're like, every other bad guy just like, oh, whatever, and leaves.
Oh, yes. Orca, inspired by Return of the Seven.
Yeah, definitely. I feel they saw that and was like, yes.
Yeah, definitely that one. It's not Jaws.
Yeah, I think it was, they worked backwards. They were like, we want to make Return of the Magnificent Seven, but with a fish. And they were like, Jaws made money. And they were like, fuck yes, now we can finance our Return of the Magnificent Seven fish movie. Apparently Richard Harris turned down the David Carradine part in Serpent's Egg to do this, and he regretted it for the rest of his life. And he also he became much He started drinking heavily during production. I mean, he probably was drinking heavily, but for several times before and after. He was a notorious drunk. He and Peter O'Toole drink, but apparently this was one of the times it was at the worst, because he learned his wife was having an affair during the production. And
with an orca.
And started drinking heavily again.
Heavily, even for an Irishman.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, it says O'Toole stopped drinking in 1978. It never says anything about if or when Richard Harris stopped
probably
drinking.
2004.
Says he.
He's still drinking now.
Because it says he used to drink with Richard Burton and Peter O'Toole, and Peter O'Toole stopped in 78. He went sober, and Richard Burton obviously stopped in 1984 by dying.
That's a joke I made when I said 2004 for Richard Harris.
Yes, but that's, you know, Burton stopped earlier. And I I don't know. I can't find anything ever saying that. Oh yeah, he stopped drinking. Just he liked drinking. Never he stopped drinking. Only he started drinking more heavily.
Oh fuck! He died in 2002. My joke is ruined.
Well, maybe he sobered up by 2004. Yeah.
Dig him up and say, "Yep, he's sober."
He hasn't had a drink for 2 years.
Let's see. He gave up drinking completely in 1981.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Started drinking again in 91, but only Guinness.
Oh, Jesus. He thought to himself, I'll just try some disgusting shit. Maybe I'll not drink too much.
He decided to become an Irish stereotype.
Hey. Yeah, whatever works for you.
I really like Charlotte Rampling, and I enjoyed seeing her in this, even though she doesn't really get a lot to do.
Oh, she gets too much narration though. Like, Jesus Christ, calm it down on the narration. Yeah. There is way too much narration in this movie, and it's all the time. And it's like really sort of like, I don't know. It's so weird. Like we're seeing everything. We don't need a narration. Like, but it's like, oh, we went out to the sea, to find the beast and fight it on its own battleground. It's like we don't need like a fucking Richard Attenborough. No, David Attenborough.
One of them.
Which one?
I think it's David.
David Attenborough narration for this.
Or do we?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. But I thought it was an okay movie.
Many viewers do not realize that the male orca drowns during the end credits after killing Richard Harris.
Yeah, but that's just one person on IMDb.
Yeah.
They say. But maybe he did it by choice.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he going to do? He got his revenge, and his wife and child remain dead. Yeah, because that's a big thing. Charlotte Rampling keeps talking about orcas made for life.
Oh, yeah, they're monogamous. Yeah. Well, he could do some more Bible communicating, do some more Bible study with his friends.
Oh, Gary Arnold of the Washington Post said, essentially a rehash of an earlier De Laurentiis hit, Death Wish, with the killer whale in Charles Bronson's role.
Oh, man. Everybody knows this now.
They really called this out all the way back in 76. 77. If they called it out in 76, they would be ahead of its third time.
Now get me a fish remake of Death Wish 3.
Oh, now that'd be fun to see. Downtown New York City.
Killing Nemo.
Well, I mean, orcas do breathe air, so they could go on land.
Yes. Can't wait.
All Fish remake of Death Wish 5. I need those. I need those fish fashion shows.
And the novelty kills.
Yeah, and it even has the Irishman, so it would have fit right in with Richard Harris. Too bad he's dead, and this movie was made 16 years before Death Wish 3. 5, Jesus. I can't do math, and I don't remember movies. Fucking hell. Yeah, so that's our Jaws ripoffs double.
Two Orca movies.
Yeah. Yes, one advertised as an octopus movie, but that octopus wasn't doing anything, so they had to bring some orcas to spice things up.
Yeah. One octopus movie, one orcapus movie.
Sure. I got nothing to add to that. I never want to hear those words again. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed Orca for going all the way and just like fuck the humans.
Yeah.
Let the orca win. Because I really didn't think it was going to follow through on it.
No, me neither.
And then when he just fucking flung Richard Harris halfway across the Arctic and he drowned, I was like, oh, hell yeah. And, yeah. Can't really say I respect Tentacles for its attempts at not really trying
anything.
And just fucking the final 30, 40 minutes of Tentacles are just a fucking bore. And it's even longer. It is like 100 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's longer than Orca even. And just don't, please.
I like Tentacles. I thought it was a pretty good, so bad it's good movie. Not a great one, but serviceable in that regards. Orca, I like the individual moments, but it did feel like it was dragging at times for me. I mean, I love individual moments, like the orca blowing up the nuclear power plant and all the scenes of violence, but there's a lot of talking when people aren't being killed, so I prefer Tentacles.
All right. I enjoyed Tentacles, like, the first 50 minutes, first silliness, but, like, once John Huston disappeared and they just went out on the boat, it was like, sleep medicine.
That's fair to say. It did lose like half a star for me when they went on the boat and they started talking to orcas, but the stuff prior to that I think can sustain it.
Yeah, well, Orca had the sort of the advantage of being where, like, I loved the final moments where, as in Tentacles, my favorite moment happened 1 hour from the end. Please stop making me have watched the rest of the movie. You peaked.
You peaked in the opening scene when he killed a baby.
And just really not enough octopus. Like, sorry, if you're going to call it Tentacles, like, give me octopus action all the time.
Yeah.
More octopus. Need more octopus.
Yeah, I agree with Stein. Tentacles was interesting, fun, maybe for a one-time watch, but that's it. And Orca was just great.
Yeah, it's
sort of Moby Dick meets Old Man and the Sea. Yeah.
Meets Death Wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whale deserves its revenge.
Yeah. I was rooting for it.
So, that's it. Find us on the website. Join the Discord. Find us on Patreon. Maybe there'll be a new episode up by the time you listen to this. And we'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
All right. We'll catch you then.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Their sonar would be a little like our having X-ray vision. If we could look into one another and instantly know if someone else was happy or sad, indifferent or aroused, healthy or suffering from a tumor we could actually see, then a human phrase like, how are you, would be meaningless. What we call language, they might call unnecessary or redundant or retarded.
Well, that part's getting cut. Yeah.